from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome to the English service of Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia. This is Rahma on the mic, who will be presenting you various updates, information, programs, music, everything's taking you closer to Indonesia. From the news, we'll be continuing with quotes of the day. And also we have interesting programs such as Indonesian Wonder, Let's Speak Indonesian, and Music Corner. So stay tuned on voanews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and also shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. But first, as always, let's begin with the news.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Hello and welcome to the news on Voice of Indonesia. First, the headlines. Prabowo launches B50, making Indonesia a global pioneer. Government officially launches carbon unit registry system, strengthening Indonesia's carbon market. I'm Dika and this is the news in details. President Prabowo Subianto has launched the mandatory B50 biodiesel program as a substitute for diesel fuel. The policy makes Indonesia the first country in the world to mandate a 50% biodiesel blend. Putri Cahaya Purnama has the full report.
President Prabowo Subianto officially launched the mandatory B50 biodiesel program in West Java on Thursday, the 9th of July, 2026. The program requires a blend of 50% palm oil-based biofuel and 50% diesel fuel. In his remarks, Prabowo expressed pride that Indonesia had become the first country in the world to introduce a mandatory B50 policy. He said the achievement demonstrated Indonesia's ability to independently manage its natural resources to meet its energy needs and improve public welfare.
Indonesia resmi menjadi negara pertama di dunia yang menerapkan mandatory bio.
Indonesia has officially become the first country in the world to implement a mandatory B50 biodiesel policy. This is not merely a technological achievement. It proves that Indonesia is capable of using its own natural resources for the benefit of its own people.
The implementation of B50 is also considered an important step towards strengthening Indonesia's energy security and independence. Through the program, the government aims to meet the country's entire diesel fuel demand through domestic production by Pertamina. Prabowo said the mandatory B50 policy would end Indonesia's dependence on imported diesel fuel.
With B50 alone, we no longer need to import diesel fuel from abroad. This is truly an extraordinary achievement for the nation.
Indonesia first introduced a mandatory biofuel policy in 2008 with a blend of 2.5%. The program was gradually expanded and entered its eighth phase in 2026, with the biodiesel blend reaching 50%. In addition to strengthening energy security, the implementation of B50 is expected to provide economic and environmental benefits. The program is projected to save the country up to 170 trillion rupiah, or around $9.4 billion, in foreign exchange, while reducing greenhouse gas emissions by as much as 44.46 million tons of carbon dioxide. Putri Cahaya Purnama, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia now has a carbon unit registry system, which will serve as the main foundation for managing the national carbon market. The system is designed to improve transparency, accountability, and transaction traceability for businesses and investors involved in Indonesia's carbon trading. Rizka Fadila has the details.
The Indonesian government officially launched the Carbon Unit Registry System in Jakarta on Friday, July 10th. The launch marked an important step in strengthening Indonesia's carbon market ecosystem, making it more transparent, accountable, and integrated with the Indonesia Carbon Exchange or IDX Carbon, as well as the global carbon market. Forestry Minister Raja Juli Antoni said the system reflects the government's commitment to expanding the benefits of carbon trading. According to him, the economic benefits should not only go to businesses and investors, but should also reach local communities, including social forestry groups.
This also indicates that carbon trading, as Mr. Jumhur mentioned earlier, is not only for the elite, not only for those who have always had the means, but also for those at the bottom, at the grassroots level, including our 8.3 million social forestry units, who will be able to benefit from this carbon trading process.
Raja Juli emphasized that the government would continue to oversee the implementation of the system to ensure that the carbon trading benefits the public while also supporting global efforts to address climate change.
We are monitoring this, and we hope this will provide significant benefits for our community and indeed the world.
The Carbon Unit Registry System is a national registry that records the entire life cycle of a carbon unit. The process begins with the registration of mitigation actions, followed by the issuance of greenhouse gas emissions reduction certificates, the transfer of ownership rights, and the retirement of carbon units. Through the system, the origin, ownership status, and use of every carbon unit can be tracked. The mechanism is expected to prevent double counting and increase confidence among businesses and investors in Indonesia's carbon market. The system also serves as a recording instrument for the implementation of carbon economic value. The government expects the Carbon Unit Registry System to support Indonesia's national determined contributions, targets, and accelerate the country's transition towards low carbon development and a low carbon economy. Rizka Fadila reporting from Voice of Indonesia.
For the first time in the world, Indonesia and China launched a prototype messenger RNA or mRNA based dengue vaccine in Jakarta on Thursday, July 9, 2026. The vaccine was jointly developed by the University of Indonesia, Tsinghua University, and PT Etana Biotechnologies Indonesia. During the launch, Indonesian Health Minister Budi Gunadi Sadikin said the development of mRNA-based vaccine is among the vaccine development priorities being promoted by the Indonesian government. He also aims for Indonesia to independently produce 11 of the 15 active vaccine ingredients or antigens required for the National Immunization Program.
So I have two objectives. My first objective is to do research and development to produce fully 100% manufacturing for 11 additional antigens. And my second objective is to develop the technological capabilities to develop from seed vaccine with mRNA and viral vector technologies.
Unlike conventional vaccines, which use weakened forms of the original virus, mRNA vaccines contain engineered genetic material designed to resemble the original virus. Minister Budi aims for all required antigens to be produced domestically in Indonesia before 2030. The Indonesian government has called on the United States and Iran to exercise restraint and halt actions that could further escalate tensions in the Strait of Hormuz. The appeal came amid continued exchanges of attacks between the two countries. Indonesian Foreign Ministry spokesperson Yvonne Mwengkang said in Jakarta on Thursday, July 9, 2026, that all parties should prioritize the escalation efforts and resolve the conflict through dialogue.
Indonesia calls on all parties to continue exercising restraint, avoid actions that could worsen the situation, pursue de-escalation, prioritize dialogue, respect international law, and continue the negotiation process.
Yvonne stressed that continuing the peace process is an important step toward maintaining regional stability. She said the process is also necessary to restore maritime security and ensure safe navigation in the Strait of Hormuz. Tensions escalated after the United States Central Command, or CENTCOM, confirmed that it had launched a series of attacks on 80 military targets in Iran on Tuesday, July 7, 2026. The United States said the strikes were carried out in retaliation for Iranian attacks on several commercial vessels passing through the Strait of Hormuz. Iran responded on Wednesday, July 8, 2026. Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, or IRGC, said it had launched missiles and drones at 85 United States military targets across the Middle East. The targets reportedly included Salman Port and the headquarters of the United States Navy's 5th Fleet in Bahrain, as well as Ali al-Salem Air Base in Kuwait. On the same day, United States President Donald Trump said the memorandum of understanding previously signed with Iran to end the conflict was no longer valid. Minister of Culture Fadli Zon launched the 2026 Indonesian Heroism Narrative Film Production Program to encourage the creation of more films highlighting the nation's struggles. Fadli said the program, which is being held as a film competition, is expected to strengthen historical literacy, particularly among young people. Ofra Regina has the details.
Minister of Culture Fadli Zon launched the 2026 Indonesian's Heroism Narrative Film Productions Program in Jakarta on Thursday. The program is being held as a film productions competition open to Indonesian filmmakers. It aims to encourage the creations of film portraying Indonesia's historical struggles while improving public understanding of the values of heroism. Fadli said the program specifically focuses on stories of the nation's struggle between 1945 and 1950. The period is considered a crucial chapter in Indonesia's effort to defend its independence. The resulting films are expected to present powerful narratives of heroism, supported by historical research and relevance to contemporary society.
Program dari produksi film narasi kepahlawanan sejarah pada era tahun 45 hingga 50 dengan tujuan-tujuan yang...
This historical heroism film production program focuses on the 1945 to 1950 period with the objectives that have been outlined earlier, particularly to educate the public, especially young people, about history, heroism, and the struggle of national figures. This include not only central figures but also others who fought physically, through diplomacy, and in various other fields. This program is part of a competition that we hope will attract many of our filmmakers. Historians will also be involved as consultants, resource persons, and experienced members of the judging panel.
Dan tadi sudah ada sejarawan yang juga akan menjadi semacam konsultan atau narasumber, dan juga juri yang memang berpengalaman.
Adelson added that the program was initiated in response to the need to revive Indonesia's narratives of heroism through a medium that is familiar and accessible to the public, particularly younger generations. Through film, history is expected to be understood not only as a series of past events, but also as a source of reflections that can strengthen national values and the spirit of struggle. During the program, filmmakers will be supported by historians who will serve as consultants, resource persons, and members of the judging panel. Their involvement is expected to ensure historical accuracy and strengthen the research behind each film produced. Farigina, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia and Morocco agreed to strengthen trade and investment relations, with both countries targeting the resumption of negotiations on a preferential trade agreement in early 2027. Indonesia's Deputy Minister of Trade, Diah Roro Esti Widya Putri, said the agreement was part of efforts by the two countries to expand market access and increase the value of bilateral trade. In a statement on Thursday, Diah Roro said Indonesia and Morocco have complementary economic strengths. Indonesia can serve as an entry point for Moroccan products into the ASEAN market, which has a population of more than 680 million. Meanwhile, Morocco holds a strategic position as a gateway to Africa, Europe, and the Mediterranean region. According to Diahroro, the two countries still have significant potential to expand trade and investment through more concrete cooperation. The strengthening of bilateral cooperation is also supported by the signing of a mutual recognition agreement on halal product assurance on May 20, 2026. The agreement is expected to provide greater certainty and easier access for halal products from both countries, while also serving as a foundation for broader trade and investment cooperation. Meanwhile, Morocco's Secretary of State for Foreign Trade, Omar Hejira, expressed hope that PTA negotiations between Indonesia and Morocco could resume in early 2027. He also invited Indonesian business players to explore business opportunities in Morocco and take part in strengthening economic relations between the two countries. Indonesia secured the WSIS Prizes 2026 in the e-government category through Rumah Pendidikan or Education House, a digital education super app developed by the Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education. The award was announced by the International Telecommunication Union during the United Nations World Summit on the Information Society Forum in Geneva, Switzerland on Thursday. The achievement marked Indonesia's first victory in the e-government category since the WSIS prizes were introduced in 2012. Rumah Pendidikan was selected after competing against 1,596 digital innovations from 122 countries. Speaking at the award ceremony, Secretary General of the Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education, Suharti, said the platform was developed based on the belief that technology should serve as a bridge rather than create distance in providing access to education.
Rumah Pendidikan was born with the belief that technology could not create distance but build bridges, and that every child should not be neglected, but supported. Every teacher should be empowered.
Rumah Pendidikan brings together various education services in a single digital platform, allowing students, teachers, and other education stakeholders to access learning resources and public services more easily. The platform currently integrates 66 education services and has reached more than 6.9 million users. It also provides 4,843 free learning resources and supports more than 104,000 teachers working in Indonesia's remote, frontier, and outermost regions. Listeners, it concludes today's news bulletin from The Voice of Indonesia, bringing you the latest updates from Indonesia to the world.
here is keyword of the day. Education is the most powerful weapon to change the world. A quote by Ki Hajar Dewantara. Ki Hajar Dewantara is dubbed as the father of education in Indonesia. He was a freedom fighter, respected by both allies and enemies. He is known for his creativity, broad insight, and criticism towards education, which resulted in various brilliant ideas. This made him known as the true educator and cultural figure of Indonesia. That's keyword of the day from Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia. Utamakan selalu keselamatan diri Anda. Periksa dan teliti kembali barang bawaan Anda. Pastikan tidak tertinggal di area stasiun Tanah Abang.
More than 50,000 people transit here every day. Using the fastest electric land transportation as their ride. Take them to their offices or homes. This is Tanah Abang Station. Built on October 1, 1899 by Dutch East Indies Railway Company named Staatspoorwegen Westerlinden, this station has served more than 1 million people a month. It becomes a hub that connects people who lived and worked in Banten, West Java, and Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for still joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Coming up next, a program that will take you closer to Indonesian art, culture, custom, food, tourist destinations, all on Indonesian Wonder.
RRA Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
The history of the rich culture of Indonesia dates back to the Megalithic era, a ritual of a strong warrior that shows maturity, power, strength, and pride. More than just a physical ritual challenge, but also a sign of value, culture, and respect, this is Indonesia Lompat Batu Nias. Lompat Batu Nias, or stone jumping tradition from Nias Island, Indonesia, is a traditional practice specifically for young men of the Nias people, historically used as a rite of passage into adulthood. A success of jumping over the specially constructed stones indicates that the youth has achieved physical maturity, bravery, and readiness to take on societal responsibilities, including marriages and historically military role. The young people starting around ages 7 until 10, boys undergo physical training, gradually increasing jump heights to develop strength, agility, and technique. Mental preparation, including focus and overcoming fear, is equally emphasized in this one. The ritual process, which is the stone jump, is the key challenge. It is a stacked stone structure averaging 2 meters in height and 40 until 60 centimeters in thickness, sometimes shaped like a pyramidal monument with a flat top. The young man must clear it in a single jump without touching the top, ensuring a controlled landing, and those who succeed are celebrated by the community, and they are formally recognized as a man capable of adult responsibilities, symbolizing courage, power, discipline, and social maturity. Families may hold a festive in honor of the achievement. And that's all about Lompat Batu Nias. I'm Gatan from the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
First is that we should take the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change and other climate agreements seriously. We shouldn't even be disturbed by the news that the US, has left the agreement.
Yes.
I think we should be able to do whatever we should need to do without the US. The second is that, we need to be innovative in finding resources to finance our decarbonization. And I believe that we have our own resources domestically in Indonesia, especially since renewables are already competitive. Mm-hmm. In terms of cost against coal and other fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to focus on deploying more renewables in Indonesia. And third, of course, we need to find ways to manage the impacts of climate change that we have already felt today.
Mm-hmm.
And it will eventually disrupt our, our food security,
yes,
our energy security, and many other sectors. So we need to pay careful attention to the impact as well.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for still joining us, the English service of Voice of Indonesia that you can enjoy on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App Channel VOI, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. Listener, next we present a program that allows you to learn Indonesian language. It's only on Let's Speak Indonesian.
Let's Speak Indonesian.
Magic words. Hi VOI listener, today's Let's Speak Indonesian talks about magic words. The term magic words often refers to polite phrases like please, thank you, and so on. These words are considered magic because they are relatively easy to say and can have a big impact on social interactions. So here we go, Indonesian magic words. Tolong, please. Terima kasih. Thank you. Sama-sama. You're welcome. Permisi. Excuse me. Maaf. Sorry. Bolehkah saya? May I? For example, tolong tutup pintunya. Close the door, please. Permisi. Boleh saya duduk di sini? Excuse me, may I sit here? Magic words are necessary to be taught to children from an early age so they are able to communicate effectively and understand how to respect others. So, have you practiced these magic words every day? Let's start small to achieve big. Well, listener, that's Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Stay tuned for learning more Indonesian words for daily use only on Let's Speak Indonesian. Sampai jumpa!
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is the woman of Indonesia. A special series to celebrate and commemorate the Kartini Day and the amazing role of women in Indonesia. And today, we will talk about Butet Manurung. When going to the forest, anyone might be thinking about adventure or at least the nature. Butet Manurung was thinking about that at first, but later, she was thinking about the people living in the forest. Saur Marlina Manurung, or known as Butet Manurung, dream about an adventurous job like Indiana Jones. That dream came true, but not as easy as young Butet imagined. So, in nearly 2000s, Butet Manurung became an anthropologist for a conservation NGO. She went deep into the forest of Bukit 12 in Jambi. Butet was assigned to spend 3 weeks in the forest. The goal was to research the life of Anak Dalam or Orang Rimba, an indigenous tribe of Bukit 12. Unlike other researchers, when your laboratory is the nature, then the nature is what you get. In the forest, Butet Manurung had to run away from bears. She got to jump into the river. Her shoes were stuck in the mud. Her hat and bag were stuck to the bushes. Her equipment brought her down. Meanwhile, Orang Rimba was only wearing loincloth, and they avoided the bears easily. They even asked why she was wearing all that equipment in the forest. At that time, Butet got a reality check that everything modern is not always the best choice. The loincloth of Orang Rimba might be deemed as primitive. However, that is the best choice anyone can have in the forest. While amazed with the modest life of Orang Rimba or Anak Dalam tribe, Butet saw something very concerning. These people cannot read and write.
not even count 1, 2, 3. They only have survival skills. The basic literacy and numeracy skills were not about meeting modern standard again, but it is a crucial capital when the forest is getting intervention from the outside world. When there is a conflict between Orang Rimba and any company that want to explore or exploit the forest, they always depend on others to communicate. They cannot defend themselves even in words. So, Butet set herself a simple mission: to teach 100 Orang Rimba basic literacy and numeracy skill in a year. Well, good intentions aren't always welcome. Outsiders often came, made Orang Rimba signed or stamped on a paper without them understanding the content, and then their forest was cut down. Those pencils or pens outsiders brought was called a sharp-edged devil. Obviously, Orang Rimba found it difficult to trust outsiders. Butet was an outsider. Her mission will need pens or pencils. So, she was just another outsider carrying a sharp-edged devil. If not, at least she might carry disease from the outside. Orang Rimba or Anak Dalam tribe then often kicked Butet out. But she did not stop. She kept trying to earn their trust. The dream of becoming Indiana Jones has turned into love for Orang Rimba. And that love
year of
was
teaching
not
in the forest.
Butet already had around 200 students. She earned the trust and respect of the chief of the tribe. In 2003, Butet Manurung founded the Sokola Rimba, or the Jungle School. This wasn't just a school, it was a whole new approach to education. One that fits the community, not the other way around. The school provides basic literacy and numeracy skills that allow the Orang Rimba to solve their issues or decide their own life. It did not make them leave their culture. The school helps them to keep it. And guess what? It worked. Her program expanded to many remote areas across Indonesia and helped thousands of indigenous people access education. Because of her work, Butet received major international recognition, including the Ramon Magsaysay Award, often called Asia's Nobel Prize. She was also named one of the Time magazine's Heroes of Asia. Butet Sokola Institute even became one of the winners of the UNESCO Confucius Prize for Literacy 2024. The award recognizes outstanding efforts in promoting literacy among indigenous communities through an innovative and integrative approach. But what makes Butet Manurung truly inspiring isn't just the award. It's her belief that education is not about changing who people are, but helping them survive and thrive in their own world. When you are listening to this, you are very privileged. There are others in different parts of the world who might still need a hand to help them thrive. You can lend a hand, because that is what Butet Manurung would have done. Listener, that is today's episode of Women of Indonesia about Butet Manurung. Stay tuned to the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
VOA listener, today's music corner presents a song from a popular Indonesian group band, Ungu. Ungu is a group band from Jakarta, which was formed on July 8, 1996. The band consists of Pasha on the vocals, Enda on the guitar, Onchi on the guitar, Maki on the bass, and Roman on the drums. On September 22, 2023, Ungu released the song Seperti Mati Lampu. The song wrote by Pasha was previously popularized by a dangdut singer, Nasar, in 2013. The song tells about a man's deep love for his girlfriend. It describes that life will be very beautiful when we are with the person we love. Seperti mati lampu or like the lights off turn out to be one of the song list from Ungu Studio Session entitled Waktu Yang Dinanti 3.0. The video has been released on the Ungu YouTube channel since September 7, 2023. The song was also included in the top 16 of YouTube Music Indonesia's trending list. Well, listener, here is the song by Ungu entitled Seperti Mati Lampu. Enjoy!
Tanyakan besarnya cintaku, ku persembahkan untukmu, hanya kepadamu. Oh dan janganlah kau ragukan luasnya cintaku, yang putih tulus untukmu, hanya kepadamu. Luasnya laut, tak seluas cinta yang ku punya, tak sedalam cinta yang cintaku satu untukmu. Tinggi langit dan setinggi kasih yang ku punya, dan setinggi kasih yang ku rasa, cintaku satu untukmu. Seperti mati lampu ya sayang, seperti mati lampu, cintaku tanpamu ya sayang. Ku persembahkan untukmu, hanya kepadamu. Luasnya laut dan seluruh cinta yang ku punya, dan sedalam cinta yang ku rasa, cintaku satu untukmu. Tinggi langit dan setinggi kasih yang ku punya, dan setinggi kasih yang ku rasa, cintaku satu untukmu. Seperti mati lampu ya sayang, seperti mati lampu, cintaku tanpamu ya sayang, bagai malam tiada berlalu. Seperti mati lampu ya sayang, seperti mati lampu, cintaku tanpamu ya sayang.
that's a wrap today's program of English service from Voice of Indonesia. If you have any feedback to send, you can send it to our email, voilisteners@gmail.com, or send a direct message, mention us on social media, Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at @voi_official. Follow us as well on TikTok at @voi_official and subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Official. And you can also reach us on WhatsApp, +62 821 2381 2130, +62 821 2381 2130. So I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.